Blog Talk Radio.
Getting started here. Okay.
There comes a time in every man's life when he has that life-changing experience. That life.
Sorry, wrong song.
Freedom is at hand. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're fighting for. Everybody's fighting for freedom. The time for freedom is now. I walk the path of Ben Anderson Good, and I will keep my mind focused on reading what you saw. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of your light, and I will get what I want. The question is, what do you want, okay? What is your end game? What are you being born into? That's the question that we ask. It's not a question to be born again, but what are you being born into? Okay. We're talking about, today we're going to go strictly into Tyrannical Scriptures, Book 2. And we're going to finish off the portion that we deal on. We're talking about the gods of the Bible. Because we think that's very important. And so we want to spend a little bit of time on that because we're having a problem with that because religious institutions do not want you to make a transition into God. They do not want that. Because once you do that, God don't steal, God don't lie, God don't cheat. When God make a commitment, God keeps it. God knows that what God says is law. So God is very careful about what God says and what God promises to people, what they say that they can do. God is not a liar because we know what the truth is. And we're on our journey, and each person's journey is very important. When you lie about your journey, it changes everything. Everything changes when you lie about your journey, okay? We got people in Congress right now, lie, you know? They just throw lies out there like it don't mean nothing. They don't know who they are, and they don't quite understand exactly what time it is and what part of history that they're actually playing. And this is what we have to deal with, part of history that they're actually playing. Now, we're going to be reading from Tyrannical Scriptures. We're going to be reading out of Book 2, starting on page 51 of the Tyrannical Scriptures, so that we can really see what's going on, okay? And and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. Okay? Now, what we want to get you to understand, when we say the Garden of Eden, the garden belonged to Eden. Eden was a ship, okay, that they were on. And this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the ship they were on. Now, check the wording. The garden belongs to Eden, to dress it and to keep it. Now, the man is in the garden, but he is still in an incorporeal state. We have corporeal states and incorporeal states, so we're going to just brush up just a little bit. When the breath of life was blown into Adam, it wasn't air. It was incorporeal energy. That changes frequency. Whenever something is done to us, there's a frequency change. That's what's going on right now. We're having a frequency change. We're not quite sure what this frequency change is all about and what we're supposed to be doing because of this frequency change that we're going through, okay? The white tribe's time is up, and they're going through a frequency change. The earth is going through a frequency change. That's why the resources are switching up all over the place, okay? We don't get too much into that. Now, we at page 50 in Tyrannical Scriptures. We're dealing with the book of Genesis. That's what we're working on right now. And Genesis 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, right now, these people are in an incorporeal state. They don't know what death is, okay? As long as they're in the incorporeal realm, on Eden, in the incorporeal realm, they're not experiencing age or death because it doesn't apply to people that's in the incorporeal realm. Realm time is a lot different than the regular time. So we have to make sure that we acknowledge what's going on. At this point, God has given them a tour and telling them what and what not to eat. The serpent, not a snake, but a reptilian being, knew that they would change frequencies and become physical once they eat something in the corporeal realm, because they haven't eaten from the corporeal realm yet. The physical form begins to deteriorate immediately once in the corporeal dimension and begins to die, but not right away. See, the reptilian being knew this. He knew that they would die, but they would not die right away. See? So he used that as substitute to make them think one thing, but something else is going on. You know, that's how we do when we're trying to get our little point across. We might know something and cause the person to think one thing, even though we know that there's another thing going on. You know, so you're not going to die right away. You're not going to die right away. You're not going to die right away. But see, he knew that, but they didn't. But it said that if they ate from the tree, that they were going to, they were in a different dimension, okay? And began to die, but not right away. In the dimension they were in, there was no death in that form. As long as they were in the incorporeal form, there was no death for them, okay? So they didn't know what death was. They've never experienced it or seen anything die. Genesis 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, when they say the Lord God, they're talking about the extraterrestrial, which is your ancestors, that are on Eden, which is the ship. That's who they're calling the Lord God. And when they say the Lord God, they're talking about one individual. When they say the sons of God, that's when they're talking about a group. All right? You begin to see that a lot of this makes sense with this particular thought process. Now, are you supposed to believe what we say? We told you in the beginning, don't believe anything. Don't believe nothing. Don't be a believer. Stop being a believer. Check stuff out. Think about things with an open mind. Okay? Keep in mind that he, Adam, hasn't changed frequencies yet. He is still in his incorporeal form. This is very important, because Adam is not in a corporeal form right now. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. He had to bring to Adam because Adam was not in a corporeal state at the time. So Adam couldn't go to them, but he had to bring them to Adam so he could see them and give them a name. These are keys. These are little things, little tidbits that you can look at, that you can see once you're in the thought process of God. We're dealing with the thought process of God right now. And whosoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Whatever name he called them, that's what it was, okay? Here, they're talking about incorporeal DNA being merged with corporeal, being made with corporeal energy to make animals and every living creature. The 1% does not accept the names given by other people. They are renaming everything that they come in contact with. That's right. They're following the thought process of the Bible. They're following the thought process of what you call, why did they use the word, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl, to the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, let's think about this. If God was making himself, why would he say found? Why would he have to find a helpmeet for her? What was he looking for? And who was he trying to find a helpmeet from? You got to remember, there were children on the planet for 1,000 years. See? Now, to use one of the children from the ship to make a helpmeet for Adam wouldn't have worked out too good. between the greater gods and the lesser gods. I'm going to say it like that, okay? Now, and Adam, this is Genesis 2, verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, beasts of the field. Out of Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Keep in mind that Adam was still in an anger for your faith, and that he has not and he has not eaten yet. And I'll talk about a thing going here. And he had not eaten yet. Because once they eat, their frequency changes. This is why we keep saying it. This is why this is so important. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. Now, where was she at that he had to make her and bring her to Adam? See, they were both in the oil realm at this time. So everything that he made, that he had to bring her, okay, to the man. This is the introduction of the cloning process. It denotes that it is possible to get a woman out of man's DNA. Now, where did this take place that she had to be brought to Adam? Remember, you're dealing with E.T., an advanced group of your ancestors. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, you have to think about the wording and how they're saying these things. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Keep in mind that Adam called her woman, not God. Why did he say she was taken out of man and not taken out of me? Think about what's going on. If Adam's naming her because she was taken out of man, why didn't he say she was taken out of me? You have to begin to think about some of this stuff. There are two thought processes taking place here. You were told that men and women were already made in the first part. Let us make men and women in our image. It said that all this was done, and they rested for 1 year. Rested for 1 day, which is 1,000 years. This was to tell you that there were two species of beings on the planet. One was made through spectrum, the other was made through science. One is a being. Once a being is made with incorporeal energy, all beings are equal. Equal ET needness. That's why the children made through the cloning process was done 1,000 years later. The clone children were not to be given the knowledge of how to design things for themselves, the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of the corporeal and incorporeal dimension. The mix-up is that the woman was not made in the corporeal world. She could see and had to be controlled. This is what the problem is. You understand? This is what the 1% know. This is what they know about this female. These are key. Adam was born in a corporeal realm. Eve was born in an incorporeal realm. Why was her frequency had to be elevated over Adam? Her frequency had to be elevated because she had to be prepared to carry two consciousnesses, hers and the baby. She had to be able to carry two consciousnesses. So her conscious was way, her consciousness was in a different place than Adam's, okay? And I'm having trouble with the new process that I developed. But what I'm going to do, I'm not going to worry about the process. I'm going to catch it on the back end, okay? Now, here is the news. That one is not dominant over the other. The male chauvinistic attitude has not arrived yet. Keep in mind, that they have not eaten, okay? You got to remember, therefore, this is Genesis 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father, his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. What made Adam's wife, you know, what made her Adam's wife? Because this is the first time the term was used. And they shall be one flesh. Here he notes that one is not dominant over the other. The male chauvinistic attitude has not yet arrived yet. Keep in mind that they have not eaten yet. We're giving you the keys, so their frequencies haven't actually changed. They're still vibrating in the incorporeal dimension. And they were both naked, okay? And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They weren't ashamed of their nakedness because there was no nakedness for them, okay? They couldn't see the flesh. They couldn't see the corporeal portion of themselves. This is because they were both in an incorporeal state. Their vibrations will not change until they consume food from another frequency, as explained in Book 1. This means that Adam and Eve were not made, they were not made of the same frequency. She was made in the incorporeal realm, and Adam was made in the corporeal realm. She has a different frequency than Adam. You have to think about that. To handle the consciousness of the two beings, she had to deal, you know, she had to deal with childbirth. So her frequency, her consciousness had to be on an elevated level because she had to handle the two consciousness that was coming into her. Okay? Now this is Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Remember, when they say Lord God, they're talking about E.T. from the ship. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Here they're referring to a reptilian being who was in the incorporeal realm with Adam and the woman, as the book called her at this time. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, what is this die talking about? Now, the serpent spoke to the woman because they vibrated at the same frequency. Other than that, they'd have been in two different dimensions, and the reptilian being would not have been able to communicate with her. Okay? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, the reptilian being know how the two realms work. He know that once she ate from the tree, that her frequency would change. This is what we're talking about in Book 1. Well, I took the first gods of the universe 7 years to change back into an incorporeal form because of the food. Their frequencies change. When you get Book 1, you'll be able to go through a lot of this because we're dropping the keys. We're trying to get you to understand that there was more going on here than what the puppet masters are leading you to believe. The serpent was a being who understood the changes of frequency and knew that she would not die right away. He knew that to be in this realm, they had not consumed any food from the corporeal realm. Like I said, see Book 1. But God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now let's ponder on that just for a minute. It said that they would be as gods, knowing good from evil. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the men and women thought process and how they have changing They're changing into gods. This is what we're dealing with. The book tells you right from the beginning what's going on, but the puppet masters do not want you to enter into this thought process, okay? Genesis 3, verse 5. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. That's what it says. You shall be as God. And it's telling you what a God is. You shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now, the good and evil portion of our world is coming from the corporeal and incorporeal frequencies. That's where the good and evil are coming from. So good and evil is the understanding of the corporeal and incorporeal realm, for there is no evil in the incorporeal realm. Notice that the woman did not have a name. They called her woman, okay? She didn't have a name yet because she was not under the authority of Adam, not at this point. She was not under the authority of Adam. In the incorporeal realm, they did not use names. God is a designer, okay? And when the women, this is the G3, verse 6, and when the women saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, I'm trying to, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eating of the fruit did what? Eating of the fruit was not just to solve their hunger. It did more than that. Eating of the fruit. Food is a frequency. And once they consumed, they were in the incorporeal realm. Once they consumed the food, their frequency changed and they went to the corporeal realm. Okay? Eating of the food from the planet caused a change in frequency. See, book one. And the eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I understand that consuming the food changed their frequencies and they entered the corporeal realm. The first thing they began to do was design clothes for themselves. For that is what God is, a designer. This was not taught to them by the Lord God. Throughout the book, E2 is referred to as the Lord God. As not to make a mistake them from the gods that they have made. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Remember, it actually referred to God walking, not Adam following his way, as suggested when God walked with Noah in the garden in the cool of the day. Here comes God walking. Now, God is walking. That means at this point, the Lord God is not on his ship, following this way as suggested when God walked with Noah. This is the first evidence of God being in the corporeal realm or off his ship to talk to Adam and the woman. At the same time, remember, she still did not have a name. And Adam and his wife, now you got to remember, there was no ceremony. They didn't spend no thousands of dollars on a ceremony with flowers and jumping over brooms, none of that. Okay? Once you make a commitment to a person as God, your word is law. This is what was going on. You make a commitment to a female, that's the law. You don't need a ceremony. You don't need anything. Once you make that commitment to each other, that's what the marriage is all about, okay? A commitment from God to God, okay? This is the first evidence. I'm saying this again. This is the first evidence of God being in the corporeal realm. or off her ship to talk to Adam and the woman. At the same time, remember, she still did not have a name. Adam and his wife, when they got married, marriage is a commitment to each other. No ceremony is necessary. I know I'm repeating some of this stuff, but they got things so screwed up, we don't know what's going on out there, okay? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves, okay? Okay? They hid amongst the trees in the garden. Because of the frequency change, they were able to see themselves for the first time and knew it was not right. Now, how did they know right from wrong? The Lord God isn't teaching them at this point, okay? This is something that's coming into their DNA. This is something is written into their very being. The law of reap what you sow is written into our very being. As some people say, it was written into our essence, okay? Because they don't talk about the incorporeal energy too much, okay? When incorporeal and corporeal come together, they both conscious. They both become conscious and know good and evil. Keep in mind that they were not taught that being naked was wrong, but yet they designed clothes for themselves. And the Lord God, E.T., called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" This is G3, verse 9. "Yo, man," I'm paraphrasing a little bit. "Yo, man, where you at?" Now here, if he's this all-powerful entity that we, like Santa Claus, okay, the Lord God was not on his ship where he could monitor them at all times, did not know where they were. E.T. or the Lord God does not know what's going on when he is not on his ship. And this happened more than once in the book, Genesis 3, verse 10. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You got to remember, this was the first time hearing the actual voice of God. Usually they use thought transference, commonly known as telepathy. Here they knew right from wrong without being taught by the Lord God. The Lord God, throughout the book, refers to E.T. and his ship, which is called Eden. Now, G3, verse 11, and he said, "Who told thee that thou were naked?" This is what I'm saying. He didn't tell him. He's trying to figure out, man, who's been talking to you guys, man? You know what I mean? "Has thou eaten from the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Right away, the Lord God knew that they had done what they had done because of what they could see. Their eyes were open, as the serpent said. Okay? Now, we wasn't sure. They wasn't sure what the serpent meant or the reptilian being when he said that their eyes would be open and they'd be able to see. Okay? They were seeing all along, but they had no idea about their eyes and what the eyes could see once they went through a dimensional shift. It's different. The things you can see, everything look different when you make that dimensional shift. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Note here, he called her woman, not wife. At this point, Adam did not want to take responsibility for his actions. He blamed the woman. She still had no name. Why is he blaming a woman? He done ate from the tree now. He don't want to take the responsibility. So he blamed it on the woman. Ain't we been blaming stuff on a woman ever since? It's amazing what the book is telling that we did in the beginning, and we're still doing the same thing right now. This is Genesis 3, verse 13. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Now she's doing the same thing. She's not taking responsibility. She knew doggone well that the Lord God told her not to eat from the tree. But she ate from the tree anyway. And then what she did? Oh, how some of the comedians used to say, oh, the serpent made, oh, the devil made me do it. She blamed it on the devil. She blamed it on the serpent. The serpent beguiled me. He tricked me into eating from the tree, okay? The woman did not want to take responsibility for what she had done. She blamed the snake. Adam and the woman had become wise, shifting the blame from themselves to someone else. Ain't that what we do all the time? Instead of taking responsibility for our actions, we blame other people, cutting other people up so they can do the time for our crime. You know? Nothing changed. Still going on right now today. This is the action of men and women as they're just transforming into God. And the Lord God, comma E.T., said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Eat the dust, okay? This is Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity, now this is very important, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Think about that. Why would God put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed, children, and her seed? This is telling you that it was not a snake, but a reptilian being capable of having a relationship, sex with the woman. The head and heel refer to their genitals. The thought process is something they do not want you to follow. It was a reptilian being, not just some serpent. This is how they describe the reptilian being. You got to remember, we were shapeshifters at one time. This is what we're talking about. Sometimes they make their claim to that today. Barack Obama was a shapeshifter, and this person, we could see him shapeshifting on TV and all this stuff, you know. Well, we were shapeshifters at one time. Once you read book one, you can see how much power that we had coming into this dimension to do the work that we're doing, okay? We didn't come in here with no power. We came here with power, okay? Now, this is Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy flower of sorrow. Okay? Gonna make these words come out the way they're supposed to come out. In conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, at this point, he's just now given Adam authority over the woman, okay? At this point, God realized that the woman is smarter than Adam and would be harder to control. And he said, because thou hast hearkened unto thy voice as thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, saying of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Okay? Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Hear what he's saying? Thou shalt herbs of the field. This is what he's telling Adam that he has to do. This is Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground. But if it was thou taken for dust, and thou art unto dust shalt thou return. They did not eat bread until they left the garden. Okay, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. He didn't name the woman until the Lord God put her under the control of Adam. once she came on the call, Adam named her like he did the rest of the animals. This is the key, okay? G3, verse 20. And God called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Note that Adam did not name his wife until God placed her under Adam's control because she was wiser than Adam and was harder to control. Remember, Adam named all of the animals of the earth, but still not named during the time Eve, okay? Unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Think about this. They have already designed clothes for them to put on, okay? This is something that they've already done. Now, here comes the Lord God to give them some more clothes. Now, why would they make this so important? You have to think about what he gave them. He gave them coats, not little sheepskin like they have growing up in the Bible sometimes. He gave them a coat because he wanted them to cover their entire body. This is the only time that the Lord God directly gave them something to wear. Only time. The Lord God did not intervene in the clothing that they were wearing after this particular point. He just wanted them to cover their bodies. That was what was going on. G3:21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. It says coats. It says coats for a reason. Now, when you look at some of the pictures that they make up, they got on little skimpy sheepskin, but he made a coat for them because he wanted them to cover the bottom. Remember, Adam and Eve made clothes of leaves because they did not eat flesh. Dress coat. A coat covers the entire body. An apron does not. There was no mentioning of a head cover. See, they've taken things out of context. They have it so that men and women, a woman can't do nothing, boy. I'm telling you, they're on her. They want to control her. Why? Because they're scared of the female because of her conscious power. She had to have the consciousness to carry two consciousness, which is hers and child. So Eve is out there. They have to control Eve. They're scared of Eve. They were scared of Eve then. They're scared of Eve now. The whole thing is amazing when you stop and think about it. Now, Genesis 3, verse 22, and the Lord God, we're talking about E.T., said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. I'm going to read that again. Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. At this point, Adam and the woman were considered gods as referred to in Psalm 82:6. Backed up by Jesus in 10:34. And now, at least he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Keep in mind, there is a way to eat so that you may live forever. The book is giving you keys. You got to stop fighting the book and say, well, wait a minute. If there is a way to do that, we got to start looking for it because we have come to the point that we are becoming masters of science. We're becoming masters of the corporeal realm. The problem is we're having trouble dealing with the incorporeal realm. That's the problem. The incorporeal realm, well, incorporeal energy is smaller than dark matter. See what I'm saying? So when we get into particle science, you'll see what I'm talking about if you start dealing with this from a scientific point of view. They're having trouble dealing with dark matter, and boy, they're having trouble dealing with incorporeal energy, and that's the problem. As soon as we make the machines where we can deal with incorporeal energy, oh man, this thing is going to change. I mean, it's going to change big time, especially when they start dealing with that dark matter. Traveling faster than the speed of light, it's going to be no big deal. I'm telling you. Keep in mind, Eden is the name of a ship and not the name of the God. You have to keep that in mind. We had ships. At one time, we had the knowledge to make planets. And we're coming back into that knowledge again. We have satellites up there right now. The Earth, the Moon is a satellite. We have satellites up there. Word just got out a month ago. China made a sun. Okay? We're dealing with particle colliders, machines that are colliding particles together. So let me see what happened during destruction. Oh, we love destruction. So this is what I'm getting at. Air conditioning, I'll be sitting over these fans here. Now, at this point, Adam and the woman were considered gods as referred to in Psalm 82:6 and John 10:34, which is backed up by Jesus. And now, at least, he put forth his hand to eat also the tree of life and eat and live forever. This is something that we have to deal with. We have to keep in mind. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Think about this. Therefore, this is Genesis 3, verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground where he was taken. Keep in mind, Eden is the name of the ship and not the name of the garden. The Garden of Eden, the garden belongs to Eden. But I'm just emphasizing this because it's important that you realize that there was an ark up there, okay? Doing all this stuff, making things happen, bringing animals and trees and all this stuff forth from the process that they had on the ark. This is G3, verse 24. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim. Where did these guys come from? Where did these cherubims come from? Okay? You think they just fell out of the sky? They were on the ship. Cherubims came from if Adam and Eve were the first and the only to have been made. Where did cherubims come from? You have to really stop thinking about what the book is saying, okay? And a flaming sword which turns every which way to keep the way of the tree of life, protecting them so they don't live forever in this garden physical form. There was many on the ship. The garden was owned by Eden. It was just called the garden, okay? You have to really stop thinking about what's going on. All throughout the book, they talk about things that only could have been possible if somebody had a ship. They do this all throughout the book, all throughout the Bible, which means good book, okay? Has somebody get mad at me because I call the book and not the Bible. Bible just means good book. I mean, this is how silly we are sometimes, you know? But now we're going into Genesis 4, okay? We're letting you know that there were many on the ship. The garden was owned by Eden. It was just called the garden. This is Genesis 4, verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Think about the way they're saying it. She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Don't that type of language remind you of something? Huh? Don't it remind you of the birth of Christ? Mary saying God gave her a child. Okay. You have to think about the language. The language that Mary used was not the first time this language was used in reference to childbearing, bringing children into the world. Keep in mind that there was no ceremony. The marriage rituals are designed to make money. Once you accept each other, your word is to be with each other until death. The marriage is done. God does not break his or her word and is not a liar. Be careful of getting caught up in the ritualistic offense, okay? Because they're designed to trap you into different things and just to make money off you. This is at Genesis 4 verse 2. She again, there's his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. Now, wait a minute. Why were they keeping sheep? These people were vegetarian. In Genesis 1:29, it told them what to eat. Herbs from all over the world. This was what was going to be for them, for meat. So why did they need the sheep? We have to think about this for a minute. Since the Lord God gave them, all right, a coat made of sheepskin, now they realize that the sheep, okay, is to be used for clothing, okay? And then the process of time, it came to pass, the Cain brought of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his, he had no respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, we got to think about this for a minute. See, now, we're going through this process. I only got a few minutes left, but we're going through this process, not as men and women, but we're going through this process as God. Now, we're thinking like God, you know? Now, he know that if he elevate one brother over another, it's going to cause enmity between the two brothers. The Lord God knew this. Well, why did he do that? Why did the Lord God create enmity between the two children? What was the point? What was the purpose? Okay? He couldn't bring, Cain thought he did well, but rejected by God. This lesson is to the parents of children on how to and not to put your children against each other. So it was the Lord God who pushed Cain into sin. Remember, the Lord God are men and women just more advanced. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Santa Claus God that y'all be talking about. Knows what you're thinking and all that stuff. No. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord God said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? The only time the Lord God don't know what's going on is when he's off the ship. Okay? And the Lord God said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Not only did Cain become a murderer, but a liar. All of this was God's doing. The question is why? We have to start questioning. Now that we're functioning as gods, we have to start questioning what E.T. is doing. I mean, we're looking at the book. We can't just go through this book and say, oh, God did it. It's okay. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the mind of God, and we're God. Yeah, we know the mind of God, and we know that what the Lord God did when it comes to Cain and Abel, we try to figure out why would God put them against each other like that? Now, Genesis 4, verse, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It was seen that God set Cain up to commit a crime, you know, but we still ask him why. Now he's off his ship, so he didn't know where Aiden was. Okay? But he saw the little ground that he dug up, and he could see that something was buried there. So he knew, you know, just by observation, that Cain had killed his brother and stuck him in the ground. Now, art thou cursed on the earth, which hath opened her mouth, and to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now, you have to think about this. God set all this in motion. But yet, he's going to curse Cain for slaying Abel. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Okay? It was seen that the descendants of Cain were the first wanderers on the planet. They were the first vagabonds. They were the first person, people to live without actually homes right away when they first got to, when they first started moving around, okay? And this is Genesis 4:13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Wait a minute. He's saying his punishment is greater than he can bear, and he done knocked off his brother and stuck him in the ground? You know what I'm saying? The law of reap what you sow suggests that he should be put to death. But did the Lord God put him to death? Oh, no. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord God said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. The lifestyle punishment was the mark. And he had to live like a wanderer. That was the mark put on him. You know, we call those wandering gypsies sometimes, right now. Okay? Now, here's the thing. The Lord God going to take vengeance on anybody that hurt him, but yet the Lord God set the whole thing in motion. Some of this, when you, as you're thinking as God, okay, you're saying that God set up some type of experiment to see what would happen. That's the only logical explanation for what God did to those two brothers, okay? Because God set all this in motion. Oh, boy, I'm over-talked. I only got about 90 seconds here. Okay, well, I'm going to end the broadcast, and we're going to take it up again in the next episode. We're going to take off from where we are right now with the Cain and Abel hookup. I have walked the path again, Alice and Good, and I will keep my mouth open and read what you show. And I easily embrace all that I have done today to return to me. Okay? This is your brother Elohim. We didn't do anything about love today because we're focusing on the canonical scriptures right now. It's on Amazon, so you can go into the canonical scriptures and get it, or you can go to YouTube and listen to some of the shows, because we're going through the scriptures as we're going down it, okay? Just to give you a different thought process of what's going on, okay? And this is what we like to do. We want to upgrade your thought process into the God thought process, because you're not supposed to be functioning as men and women at this particular point. You're supposed to be functioning as God, okay? I got about 10 seconds left. And with that, I'm going to say peace. Well, I don't like to use the term peace because that's a declaration of war. I'm going to say I love you, and remember that love is and always will be the answer. Much love. Elohim.